In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 113 on Social Justice. The image shows a family. They're outside their home, working, cleaning up the yard, watering the plants. Mother has a baby in her arms, and within the picture it says, citizens are happiest and most industrious when they are owners of property, however modest. And the caption underneath the picture reads, the government should protect the right of private ownership. Citizens are most contented when they have some property to call their own, on which they can depend for the necessities of their families and for maintenance in their old age. Problems of peace and order increase with the increase of people who have no property of their own to think about. Something is wrong when a country's wealth is in the hands of a limited few. Everyone should be owner of something, however little. What teachings of the Church related to social economic matters are based on the 7th and 10th commandments? The teachings of the Church on social justice are based on the 7th and 10th commandments. It is said that in Leo XIII's encyclical Rerum Novarum of 1891, the Church is not only collectively but individually identified with the masses. Social justice is the exercise of God-given individual rights taken in relation to the common welfare in order to carry out its primary objective of sanctifying and saving men. The Church defines certain principles of what we term social justice, applying the law of God to conditions of present-day economic life. In these principles, the moral and economic spheres merge. The Church enunciates the application of equity of justice to certain matters, like relations between employer and employee, between rich and poor, between individuals and groups. A person has obligation towards his fellow men. This fact is fundamental and immutable. If he fails to observe the obligations relating to the social economic side of life, he sins against the 7th and 10th commandments. Men are created equal, all being made to God's image, all destined for immortality. So all are destined to immortality. But there are natural inequalities arising from physical, mental, material causes. A person must not exploit the inequalities, taking advantage of those less fortunate. The most important documents summarizing the attitude of the Church on social justice are the papal encyclicals Rerum Novarum of Leo XIII and Quadragesimo Anno of Pius XI. These encyclicals have formed the basis of many a present political doctrine on social justice. If we would follow their teachings, we should not be continually violating the 7th and 10th commandments, causing jealousies and enmities among different social classes, as among nations. If we would only obey the teachings of the Church, there would be none of the isms that today infest the earth. Social justice defines not only rights, but duties as well. It enunciates principles regarding labor and capital. It defines rights of living wage and of private ownership. Pope Leo XIII said, quote, it must be within man's right to possess things, not merely for temporary and momentary use, as other living things do, but to hold them in stable and permanent possession." End quote. Many of the present ills of the world, including international jealousies and wars, arise from economic causes. Many so-called moderns hold an attitude of contempt towards the teaching of the Church on the matter, in the false assumption that the Church should concern itself merely with prayers and religious ceremonial. But the Church was established to lead men to eternal salvation, and it cannot fulfill its mission unless it warn men against everything that endangers their salvation. From the moral point of view, what are the purposes of economic life? From the moral point of view, the purposes of economic life are the following: God-given resources, such as those of the land, as well as human skills, must be developed for the benefit of God's children. The motive of profit must always give way to the motive of the moral law. God's gifts should be distributed in an equitable manner. Everyone should be provided with useful employment in accordance with his abilities and needs and with his dignity as a human being created by God. The state, as instrument of the common good, has the duty to intervene in economic life for that purpose of the common good, of either the group or of the individual, but man and his family always have priority over the state. There must always be cooperation in the economic life between those who work and those who own. Why is private ownership a right? Private ownership is a right because every man has a right to life and to all means necessary for the purposes of life. On account of their importance to the social group, certain types of property should be under the control of either the state or of other groups of public ownership. In order to preserve his life, man has a right to gain for himself and keep as his own those goods he needs for his subsistence. The possession of external goods, indispensable to man's earthly existence, such as food, clothes, a home, and similar things, is a natural right. It may, however, be said that the present distribution of wealth is not quite in accordance with the will of God. It cannot be pleasing to him that a small minority should enjoy an excess of property, while an overwhelming majority can hardly keep body and soul together. Private ownership is a right because if every moment of a person's life were occupied in providing for his daily maintenance, he would have nothing to sustain him in cases of illness or misfortune. Besides, in such a case, he would have no leisure in which to attend to the interests of his soul. One is, moreover, bound to provide for those dependent on him, and this can only be done if he can keep property above what is absolutely needful. Private ownership is limited by moral obligations and should be subjected to social restrictions for the common good. Some limitations on the right of private ownership are just title to ownership, the urgency of the need of others, and expropriation by the state for the public welfare, but with just compensation. Both communism and fascism are errors because they establish the godhood of the state. Communism confiscates all private property for the state and aims to provide for the wants of everybody out of public funds. Besides being impracticable, the idea of communism violates individual and family rights. The state is merely empowered to supervise and regulate the acquisition and disposal of property for the common good, with justice to everyone. The state is for the people, and not the people for the state. Far from wronging the citizens, the state must aim at the welfare of each and all. Neither has the state any right to take church property. To rob a man is theft. To rob God is sacrilege. That concludes the reading, lesson 113. Do you have any questions or comments? Okay, this social justice is not one of my more understood. I think I generally lean more to Father Joseph to explain this and to deal with social justice, because I think he has done quite a bit more reading and study on these topics than I have, and I am not ashamed to say, oh, he is a better judge of many of these things and able to answer more of these questions. The popes have written encyclicals on social justice. I can think of Father Coughlin comes readily to mind. I don't know, you think he was in the 30s or 40s. Actually had a periodical named Social Justice, like newsprint, that he put out. He authored many books speaking out against communism and warning, I think principally the American people, American Catholics, against the communism that was the threatening, basically the Republican way of life, if you will, and went into great definitions of what is permitted, what isn't permitted, how we should view different things. But I see that our society has tended more and more towards the communism, especially with the younger generations. They cannot see the evil of communism before them. It makes perfect sense that everyone should be given a wage and food and not have any property, and they cannot see the necessity of, I guess, each individual having something to call their own, and to become really children of the state or of a welfare state, to have Uncle Sam to be taking care of us rather than us taking care of ourselves. And I think one of the chief evils of that is that we lose our self-respect. And we lose self-respect, we lose respect for one another, and we cannot really love ourselves because we've lost that self-respect. And if we can't love ourselves, we can't love our neighbor. And if we can't love our neighbor whom we see, how can we even claim to love God? So the church holds the position that God has created us and put us here on earth to rule over this earth, and to rule over it, each man needs to be able to claim a portion of these goods of the earth as his own. And so it doesn't matter whether an individual or a group of individuals create a monopoly to take advantage of those who need the necessities of life and to monopolize that and to make their life more difficult, whether it is a company, an individual, or even the government, the state that does this. It is an evil, it is stealing, therefore against the seventh commandment, but these rules, these obligations are principally between the individuals and the government, the state that is over them. And they want to say the church doesn't have anything to do with this, the church needs to mind her own business, these are material things and the church isn't concerned about the spiritual, but the soul and body are united in one, and it cannot but be that this spiritual overrules or overlooks the material life. And so we see God has given us in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. And on the individual level, this stealing, this theft is illegal, but what we see in governments is that governments tend to steal from other governments. They tend to steal from their own citizens. And of course, that leads more to fascism, where the individual ruler is using the people, the country, as his own piggy bank, as his own resources for his own personal gain, his own personal benefit. That fascist idea, along with communism, where No one owns anything. Everything is owned by the state and distributed freely. That is all evil. And of course, we cannot help but point out that the religious life, the religious vocation, is really a pure or correct form of communism, if you will, because the religious take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and we say we give up the right. It is a right, not a privilege, and we give up the right, and that's what makes the sacrifice meritorious and worthwhile. We give up the right to private ownership, and the order, the community owns everything as a community, and we own nothing as individuals. And even, you know, the books and the things that we use, very often if you look in religious books, the title page is marked ad usum, for the use of a certain individual. He doesn't write his name in it as if he is the owner, but he has the use of this book, or this whatever it may be. But the title, the ownership, belongs not to the individual, but to the society, the community. And this is something that is beautiful and good when it is done for religious motives. But if we were to force this idea upon society at large, that would be an evil. That would be robbing. The individual religious gives up that right. We cannot steal that right or take that right away from anyone. And so that's really the difference between the religious life and the secular life, if you will. The religious has given up the right to private ownership, whereas the secular world retains the right to private ownership. As I say, we could go on and on, but I think Father Joseph would be a better one to elaborate on these points. And if there are no questions or comments, then we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.